Welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus, and thank you for being here. Happy New Year. So glad that you've taken the time to stop and visit and help me wrap up 2024. So probably should have had one of those little blowout noisemaker things and a party hat, and I don't. So you don't have to go check the live stream for that, but you may want to catch up to the live stream a little bit later. But nope, no party hats, etc. In fact, once I'm off air, my favorite New Year's tradition, the Sci-Fi Channel is running The Twilight Zone, the original ones. It's a marathon. And just over lunch, I saw one that I had not seen before. So hoping to catch more of those. You know, if you have New Year's Eve traditions that you're looking forward to, you are welcome to give me a call. You can reach out on the Red Wing Shoe line, 701-293-9000. You can also send me emails at ag@flagfamily.com. So feel free to share all of those things. And besides doing the Twilight Zone, which again, kind of a favorite, tomorrow, the local bar in Hunter, North Dakota is hosting a Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. If you're still having lunch and that caught you by surprise, please have a swig of your water so you don't cough up too much. But yes, Rocky Mountain oysters. I know that the chefs have been busy preparing those already, making sure that they are good to go for you. I am going to ask you, Addison, over there in the sound booth, have you ever had a Rocky Mountain oyster?
I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, this is a moment that we can share. So here we go. And we don't have our large animal vet, Dr. Emily Fox, with us to give a much better medical description of this. But when you want a bull to no longer be a bull, you just want him to be a steer. You will remove his bull parts, his testicles. And when you do that, you do it by cutting them off with a scalpel. And then, of course, you have to make sure that you take care of that animal so there isn't an infection or anything like that. But also, you could do it alternatively. You could do it with giant rubber bands that literally cut off the blood flow, because what you're trying to do is reduce the amount of hormone in that animal so you have more rate of gain for more of a beef animal as a steer. So then you take those Rocky Mountain oysters, as they're called. You clean them. You then slice them thinly. You dip them in, some folks use like shore lunch, like you use when you bread fish, or if you use crushed crackers or whatever the case might be, you fry them up and they are a delight, especially if you have a beer in the other hand. And so here in the Midwest, we will do a lot of weird things. Rocky Mountain oysters might be considered one. We also have done this. I know lots of folks do it with schmelt, which is basically a bait fish. Again, that's another reason you need keg beer, is if you're eating schmelt, by the way. So Addison, does that make you want to drive on out and join me on New Year's Day for Rocky Mountain oysters?
No, but it may save me a couple dollars later today when it comes to buying lunch. I don't think I'm hungry anymore.
I should really apologize to Addison, because there are many times where he comes in and is so kind to run the board for this show, but is completely horrified at the topics that I talk about, particularly when they pertain to beef animals. So thanks. I'm sorry. I hope you enjoy supper instead of maybe lunch after this. We'll try to make it better for you.
I'll try.
I've been told they are a Rocky Mountain oyster in taste and texture is comparable to a chicken gizzard. And weirdly, I don't want to eat chicken gizzards, but I'll eat a Rocky Mountain oyster. I know it's weird. We all have our limits. And coming from the south central part of the state behind the Iron Curtain, believe me, I have more than one weird food I could talk about. Let's say, you know, things like liverwurst, head cheese, blood sausage. Some of you are excited and licking your lips. Maybe you just had lutefisk for Christmas and you're excited about all those types of things. Not everybody else is. Now, in other exciting news, let's turn to the weather. And I am not your meteorologist, but I'm going to give it a whirl. And as we look to today's forecast, we do see a few flurries. In fact, I saw a couple sneak past my window a little bit earlier. Right now, about 22 degrees when I went up to the post office. That's what I noticed. A little breezy from the northwest, but we anticipate temperatures are going to continue to fall. Isn't that just fitting? It's New Year's Eve and it gets chillier. And with those falling temperatures, we're going to be headed towards the weekend where it's going to get real chilly. And we are going to be looking at single digit highs, especially as we get into next week. But even by Friday and Saturday, we'll see that with some very chilly below zero temperatures for overnight lows. So far, roads, I think, are better. And right now, I am excited to say that even yesterday, the roads dried off. And when I left Fargo late in the afternoon, it was much nicer driving than it had been in the morning with awfully frosty conditions. In fact, just by chance, as I was leaving the studios, I had a discussion with Sheriff Jesse Johnner, and he made mention that, yep, it's getting a little slick out there. And it was probably worse in town than when I got on the highway to keep going. Speaking of yesterday, I want to say a great big thank you again to Jocelyn Berkland. Jocelyn joined me as my assistant ag director yesterday, and I've had a conversation with a couple other students just this morning in regards to more of them joining me over the next few months. Jocelyn is a junior at Enderlin High School. She did a fantastic job. She had come prepared to talk about a couple of different headlines in the news. She also helped do an interview with our guest. Yesterday's guest was Mark Vining. He was with Rookery Rock Winery at Absaraka, and we had a whole geography lesson regarding the Glacial Lake Agassiz and so much more. If you're curious how that discussion went and what we shared and learned, you are welcome to go to look at our archives. You will find on our WDAY website, you'll find all of our shows as a podcast. And additionally, you can go back and watch us on our live streams. Again, Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. Acres TV is a free app where it is looking to become the Netflix of ag social media. So if there's anything that you want to see, a lot of the YouTube farmers, if you will, are hosted there, as well as Weather and Ag in Focus. So you can join us anytime and watch. So many great things going on as usual. Sometime in this hour, I want you to listen for the Vegas Sounder. We're going to get a qualifier for that Vegas trip. Again, that is to see the Eagles in concert at the Sphere on January 25th. Don't call now. Put your phones down. Hit stop. I am not the sounder. I'm simply describing what you could possibly win. And thanks to those of you who came out yesterday to Kingpin Social from 3 to 5, we did an in-person registration. So we got that taken care of. And going to be a good day for us to bring in a guest a little bit later. We'll have Greg Steeman. He is with Starian Bank. We have him join us monthly for our Farm Finance Insider. Lots of good questions for Greg. And as always, you can join me by phone to ask additional questions. That phone number, 701-293-9000. I think I've said it enough. It's as ingrained in my head as it was for the phone number for pizza delivery when I was in college. That's one you don't forget either. And if all of you remember who was 701. Wait, now I have to think about it. It was from my college days at Pizza Patrol, and it was one that was easy to remember, but I blanked out. It happens. Now, in the news headlines, a couple of things. First of all, we want to talk a little bit about cover crop. We do frequently hear that term. What does cover crop mean? What are the incentives for doing it? First of all, cover crop in our soils help us to build better soil structure. They also bring us more organic matter. Why would organic matter matter? So that's a cute way of saying it. When you are thinking about organic matter in the soils, the reasons for doing that, that is plant breakdown, provides more nutrients to the crop that's there. More cover crop can also help use water if there's excess, or hold water if we need it for a better crop. See, when you have cover crop, you also hold more carbon in the soil. And there really is a ratio of carbon to nitrogen, it's about 24 to 1, that's optimal for your soil health. That carbon number can vary based on the crop that you're raising, whether it's corn, soybeans, etc. Having good soil health also helps you with better pH. Again, I said soil structure, so you can see things like less compaction in the field, etc. Now, there are several programs that are available to improve that that cover crop. And you can look at some of the enrollments with a number of programs. One of those can be a collaboration with the Soy Checkoff. There's also Pork Checkoff, and National Corn Growers Association. And they are looking to double the adoption of cover crops to reach about 30 million acres by the year 2030. And they're doing it through the Farmers for Soil Health program. Enrolled farmers receive an incentive payment for adopting the strategy on their farm. The incentives are supported by a $95 million USDA partnership grant, and that is a partnership for climate smart commodities. A lot of things that USDA has been doing in order to improve organic matter and soil health overall. So that's just one of the headlines that's been going on as of today. We'll have many more that we'll try to touch on throughout our hour. Again, thanks for joining me here on a New Year's Eve. And we'll be back with after the American Ag Network. We're going to want to catch up on the markets, see what's happening in the livestock trade. And then we will be joined by our guest, Greg Steeman with Starion Bank with the Farm Finance Insider segment. Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for being here with me today. Again, always really appreciate great listeners like yourself being a part of today's show. And you are always welcome to drop me a message by either calling 701-293-9000, or you can go ahead, send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. My guest today is part of the Farm Finance Insider segment that we do with Starion Bank. Hello, Greg Steeman. How are you today?
Bridget, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Fabulous. Okay, we might run a little bit long today because my list of questions as I started making them felt like it just got bigger each time I looked at it. So I'm going to apologize now.
We'll see what kind of answers I can come up with. We'll go from there.
Okay. So it's the end of the year. And just as any regular citizen, I am looking at what do I have to get done to take to my accountant in the new year so I can prepare taxes, etc. But if I put myself in a farmer's shoes, and he needs to not only prepare for taxes, but what are those things that he needs to be bringing to you as his ag lender to be thinking about right now? And are there some things that sort of stand out that are often forgotten?
Well, you'd be intrigued. You know, the things that get brought to me at times will range everything from an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper to a portfolio. The differences in planning and projecting are very widely, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I think what I want to see is just what is your plan? As far as to pay off the existing line of credit and the term debt that is due. And if we don't have the dollars to do that, are there some things that we have to restructure? Do we just have to extend? What are the approaches? And we just want to be on the same page as the producer when it comes to, satisfying the debt obligations and then making sure that we've got enough to make the other payments. And so I just think having those conversations is important. My guess is most producers have already visited with their tax accountant. My personal thought is, I love producers, but they're fantastic at not paying taxes. I always say, hey, make sure you, if you have to pay, just get yourself to the top of that bottom bracket so it doesn't break you, but because you're gonna have to pay taxes eventually anyway. But it's, just have those conversations. We've talked about, having an advisory team, whether it's your tax accountant, whether it's your banker, whether it's your soil person, whatever it is, have those conversations and then have a plan in place as far as what you want to do. If you had losses this year, which we're looking at 40 to 50% of producers are in that category, what assets do we have that we maybe can use to term out those losses? Is our working capital situation strong enough where we can absorb those losses without decimating working capital? So I think having conversations with the people that know your operation the best and then also putting that plan together so that myself and my team can start working on a projection and kind of a credit presentation.
That's a really big deal right now. As you listen to what is going on in the headlines, most, just like 58% of farmers are expected to make money this year. I am very active on Twitter, and I saw a farmer on Sunday night say that he and his son had been farming together, and they had a very long discussion and made quite a few changes as they plan for 2025. And that was things like giving up all their rented land, selling some of their excess equipment to bring down debt. His wife, who was going to retire, is going to continue to carry her off-farm job. And both he and his son were looking at potential part-time off-farm income that needed to be coming in as well. And this is on irrigated land in Nebraska. Do you think that everyone is looking at those numbers quite as closely? Maybe we need to be a little bit more focused, I guess I could say.
Well, and that varies from producer to producer as well. You know, some people are much more detailed. Some people are on top of their finances and know exactly what their situation is. Others, maybe not as much, but all it takes is a loss type of year or a negative year. And hopefully that alerts you to, I've got to stay on top of this. I've got to know what my situation is at all times. Now, is that easy to do when you've got, you know, some commodities that haven't been sold and you haven't realized any revenue from them yet? You know, that's a little bit unpredictable. But back to your point, I love the individuals that really do a very good self-examination and have the difficult conversations. I love hearing that when you talk about irrigated land in Nebraska, I mean, there's some, that operation, that's being honest with yourself. That's saying, how can we become more efficient as an operation, you know, and how can we maximize our implement line that we have? And I think, you know, they sold some, but they also downsized, gave up some rented land. My guess is they're going to manage fewer acres in a more efficient manner. And I love the fact that they're willing to consider additional revenue streams, you know, like some off-farm employment. I think those things are important to take into consideration. And maybe sometimes you utilize your own equipment. If you're going to do some, you know, some grain hauling or things along those lines, you're able to utilize what you have. And my other guess, and I don't know that you necessarily brought it up with your specific situation, is also, you know, we're going to put some money and time and effort into repairs rather than buying new.
Yeah.
And implement dealers are going to feel that as well. So I'm sorry for that long answer, but I love hearing, you know, when you describe that situation, that's a producer and a family that understands their operation. And sometimes realize, all right, we're going to cut back. We're going to become more efficient. And then if the opportunity presents itself down the road, maybe those acres come back available, or maybe they come available from some other resource.
Greg, never apologize for giving a long answer when it's an accurate answer. I have zero problem with that, because I think right now it's important for all of us to understand, when we hear that farmers didn't make any money, but they didn't make a lot of profit in 2024. Why? What are they going to do going forward? It could mean doing something more than just raising corn and soybeans in that market year. And we don't know exactly what all of it's going to look like for every farmer yet. There's going to be a lot of variability to it, is my guess.
Without question. I think that's a very accurate assessment, Bridget. And by the way, I apologized in the background. I don't think there's a fire in the building I'm in, but the fire alarm is going on, so I apologize for that. And if I'm
Greg, if you smell smoke,
leave,
get out.
I apologize for putting my feet short.
Okay. What a great, interesting day for you.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay. Well, how about we do this? While that fire alarm is going off, you and I can check with bottom of the hour news. So when that stops, hopefully you're back. And if you're not, that tells me you've stepped outside. But I did want to give you one little reference I thought you might find funny when you said you have some producers that come in really well prepared with their portfolio of items. One might have a sheet of paper. My dad would always go in to see the accountant with a paper bag full of paperwork, because he said, I don't want them to think I made money. But when he'd go to the banker, he would take the briefcase we gave him for Christmas, because he said, that guy should think that I can actually afford to farm. So I hope those two comparisons probably make more sense to you.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yep. You don't want to know what his suggestions were when it was time to go buy a car, but let's just say I looked like I had just rolled around on the shop floor before I went in there to buy. So good negotiating tactic, I guess. All right, folks, we will be right back. Hopefully so is Greg. We will check the bottom of the hour news and then return post fire alarm. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And yes, many of you are very busy dialing. We are looking for caller number 9. This will be a chance to win the Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate, brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin's Social. The winner will probably receive, not probably, they will receive 2 airfare from Frontier Airlines from Fargo to Vegas, a hotel stay, 2 tickets to see the Eagles. That is on Saturday, January 25th. At the Sphere, and $500 in spending cash. If you are not caller number 9 today, then you have the opportunity to join us on Monday, January the 6th from 3 to 5 at Kingpin Social. That is an in-person chance. What you could do is show up early, enjoy happy hour after you've gotten registered, and then stay to watch the North Dakota State Bison game as they play in the championship for the NCAA FCS championship game. So, hopefully caller number 9 is able to slide on in here and get registered. Lots of folks have been waiting for this opportunity, and we're excited to have you doing it. So I'll know that name soon enough. Meanwhile, my guest right now is Greg Steeman. He is with Starion Bank. This is our Farm Finance Insider segment. And Greg, we've been talking about a lot of things over the whole year when it comes to how farmers are making money, what they're doing. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about as we get towards the end of the year and folks are evaluating what happened financially, not just in 24, but probably over the last few, are you seeing an uptick in any of your customers coming in and saying, I'm looking at my transition plan, I am looking to make a change in ownership or a restructure or anything like that?
You know, not necessarily from my standpoint, but it's not uncommon that that happens, especially when you go through a year or two like this. And I think you want to, you know, be able to pass on something that has good value, good worth. And you want to typically in your succession planning, you want to set your next generation up to have a better chance at success than what you have. And so I think that's kind of the thought process of most of the people that are having those discussions. And those discussions are important. I know we probably talked about it in the past, but you want to make sure that you're getting input from everybody that knows your operation. And also, you know, there are also discussions sometimes that are uncomfortable, you know, when it comes to family. Mm-hmm. And I just think those, it's okay having a difficult discussion and talking about, you know, succession planning and transitioning. And I just think they're valuable discussions to have. And oftentimes, if you involve the right people, you'll get points of view that some of the principals haven't necessarily considered at that point. So I just think expertise from outside of the family and the people that know your operation has great value because it provides a different perspective when it comes to having those discussions.
Greg, when should that farm operation bring you into the discussion as a banker? I always use that rule of thumb, you know, when I worked in a corporate office or a corporate setting, don't surprise your boss. And it's probably the same with don't surprise your banker. So should you be there more on the front end of those discussions, or when is a good time for that operation to reach out to you?
But that's a really good question. I think in most relationships, I think it's a very trusting relationship between a producer and their primary banker. I think that they're typically going to be involved on the front end, and I think that's important. And I think most bankers will provide as much information as they can. And I think that your most trusted bankers won't necessarily interject unless they're asked. And I think that's okay. Having knowledge of the operation is important, but it's also it's on the people having the conversation to bring the others into it and ask for their opinion on certain aspects of it. And so I just think an awareness and a trust level are always invaluable. And I think for the most part, I would guess most producers have that type of relationship with the people they get their primary financing from.
Well, I think that's probably a really good point. And, you know, when you're coming in to see you, let's not forget about some of those other places that business has been going on. I think about some of the seed financing that can be done out there, John Deere financing, loans maybe with other banking institutions. As a banker, can you see all of those things, or do you need your farmers to say, hey, by the way, I did all of this as we weigh out my operating loan for 2025? I've heard it both ways, that John Deere Finance can be visible, but maybe not?
That's a really good question. Now, what you bring up is a great, it's an incredibly important conversation that must take place. And I've kind of had, I've asked that same question at times too. What is visible? What isn't? What filings are in place? What, and you can't always trust that you've had access to all of them. That's where it comes back to the one key word that I utilized earlier, trust. Trust between a producer and the banker. Hey, we understand that there are going to be opportunities to get some interest-free things along those lines, but I always say, hey, if you're going to get no interest, I also want you to ask if you can get a discount if you pay cash. There are different ways to frame the conversation and make sure you're getting the best possible deal. And so I think asking a lot of questions, especially when it comes to, and I see a lot of those things are competitors, you know, John Deere Financing and the seed companies, things along those lines. I understand that. And there are times when I'm going to go, you know what, that's a better situation than what we can get you. Take advantage of that. So just having that trusting relationship. And so an organization does matter. I know it's an oversimplification, but we always talk about, I wonder how many subscription services I have. We see those commercials for that right now where you're going, you're paying 16 different things, you know? And I've had conversations, and it's not a criticism, but there are times when people go, oh yeah, I did. I financed 90,000 of soybean seed. I've got to pay on that. And it's,
oh yeah.
It's, yeah, some people might think, how could you possibly forget a $90,000 obligation? Well, it's all relative, right? In a multi-million dollar farming operation, when you look at the input costs and the efforts to generate revenue, sometimes $90,000 is a smaller number compared to some of the other numbers. So I use that just as an example, but it is, there's a lot of different things, and you want to be able to keep track of all those things in the most effective and efficient manner possible.
Absolutely true. And okay, so I'm going to change gears on you just a little bit here, Greg. And also want to make sure to give a congratulations to Justin D from Pelican Rapids. He is now qualified for that Desperado Vegas Dream Vacation trip. Thanks for being caller number 9, Justin. Also, I've had several people say they're very glad that the smoke alarm went off where Greg is at, because they were concerned it was their office and they looked around before they realized it was on the radio.
Yeah, so it was ours, but it's in the process of being addressed right now.
I don't see smoke. You don't look panicked, so I'm going to say that's a win.
We're good.
So the new year starts North Dakota's new legislative session. As a state legislator, do you see anything coming up on the horizon, particularly in the realm of the ag industry here, that folks should maybe be aware of or thinking about, and maybe you as a legislator want some input on?
No, that's a fair question. I did visit with Doug Goring a little bit, and he said nothing that's pressing at this point in time. I do know that that typically every session we'll have some property tax breaks or incentives, things like that. Property tax is going to be the big issue this session. I have my personal thoughts on that. I believe it is a local issue. The state legislature does not assess any property tax. The state actually assesses 1 mill, and that is to help finance the University of North Dakota Medical School. That's the only property tax that we deal with at the state level. So I get a little concerned when I think the state is now going to reach down to the local level and tell them how or what, in what manner they have to manage their property tax revenues or their ability to assess those taxes. So I come from a conservative background as far as I believe in local control and government close to home. So I want to make sure we don't overstep our bounds, but we also understand that there's some talk out there that we want to be able to see some progress of utilizing the legacy fund earnings. Not touching the legacy fund is not an option. We want that to grow to a point where that can really help sustain revenue in case of a downturn in the oil markets, or let's say an environmentally unfriendly administration that would try to reduce production of oil and gas, and then which in turn would impact our revenues at the state level. We would love to get the legacy fund grown to a level where that generates enough revenue to offset anything we would lose from an energy production standpoint. So some from a specific standpoint in the ag sector, I'm not aware of any wide-ranging pieces of ag legislation, but that doesn't mean that things couldn't get introduced within the first few days of session. So right now, and Doug Goren kind of mentioned that too, there's nothing that, he's on edge about, but we also know a lot of bills have not been filed yet either.
Okay, that'll be interesting to watch what changes. And again, I think one thing that we have to remember as taxpayers in North Dakota, we can call our legislators anytime. If we have opinions on them, that's what we need to do in order for you who represents constituents to understand what the needs of the people are and what their thoughts are. And I appreciate the fact that my legislative team will allow me to reach out to them. I hope that's the case in many other districts and people take advantage of that, Greg.
I couldn't agree more, Bridget. I get excited when I realize my constituents are engaged, that they have an opinion, whether we agree or not. I really have genuine appreciation for the fact that there are constituents that make an effort to communicate. I will tell you this. I believe that the state legislators in North Dakota are probably the most accessible in the country. Our contact information is right on the legislative website. My cell phone number is on there. I don't use multiple cell phones or anything like that. If I get a call, I will call back. If I get a text, I will text back. And we do want people to, you know, if you're upset, that's one thing. But if you're upset about something specific, share that with me. Share that with your legislators, with your representatives, with your senators, because I know I'm not alone. I think the vast majority, if not all, of the people in the legislative assembly genuinely appreciate it when their constituents take action, ask questions, make suggestions. I think those things all matter, and it helps me be a more effective legislator when I know that I'm representing, you know, my constituents because they've communicated with me what their thoughts and wishes are.
Oh, I could not agree more. And Greg, this is from someone who, just like you, you know, I'm easy to access publicly, right? People can send me messages. I share my email address every day on air. Don't be anonymous. If you really want your opinion known, I refuse to acknowledge anonymous trolls on social media. You want to try to call me out, but you don't have the guts to use your real name on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I'm going to ignore you. And if you want to be serious and have an open-minded discussion, then you're welcome to reach out. And I think that's probably the same for you. You're not there for the trolls. You're there for the people who want to actually engage in a decent conversation.
And thank you for that, Bridget. I think those are some really good points. The other thing that I would suggest is don't just copy and paste. You know, sometimes there will be an issue that a lot of people are concerned about. And then all of a sudden you're receiving 117 of the exact same email. And in some cases, they haven't even changed the greeting. You know, it's still to somebody else. But provide your genuine opinion. Provide your thoughts. You as an individual, you as a voter, you as a constituent. It's okay to have original thoughts. It's okay to have a disagreement with me. We can be on two different sides of the issue, but we can have a civil conversation. And to your point, don't be anonymous, because I'm in the exact same situation. If somebody does not want to attach their name to a communication, then it obviously wasn't that important to them.
I agree with you completely. And Greg Steeman, thanks for joining me today and staying just a little bit longer. I always appreciate when you join me on air to talk about all of the things finance related for farming and otherwise. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to your listeners. And I'm always grateful for the opportunity for us to converse, Bridget. You take care.
Thank you much. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. I'll recap the weather and probably hit a couple of headlines before we end the show today. So be right back. Happy New Year from Weather and Ag and Focus, and welcome to the official last day of 2024. Well, what's the weather going to be like for all of you party goers tonight? Chilly. We've had some flurries and there could be more in the forecast today. Northwest winds are blowing in some cooler temperatures. We anticipate an overnight low of about 2 degrees and tomorrow only a high of 15. Maybe we'll see some sun, because I'll be honest, I've missed the sun. I could use some vitamin D here, folks. So if we could get the clouds to step aside, at least we blew out the fog. Now I could use just a little bit better sunshine. Looks like the road conditions are pretty good right now, but do be careful tonight. If you are out celebrating, and I hope you do, ring in 2025 in a great way, but be sure to use a designated driver. Lyft and Uber and taxi cabs will be very busy tonight. So be smart, be safe, and make sure that you have a great time while you're out doing that. So I do want to take an opportunity as well to give a great big thank you to so many who have helped out through this year. It's been a year of change for us at Weather and Ag in Focus. Justin Storm is no longer a part of our family here at WDAY and miss him tremendously. Thank you to Dean as a co-host. Thank you very much to you, Addison, for doing so much in the booth. He's always the voice in my ear while the rest of you are listening to some of our news item updates or market updates. And he is great at helping get connected to guests and making sure that things are running smoothly. Although we just talked about the fact that sometimes it doesn't run smoothly. And if you all knew the things that happened besides smoke alarms when you least expect them, man, it's the reason it sounds like I might be smiling, because I probably am. Thank you to the guests that join us during the week. We've had some fantastic guests, as well as guest hosts, folks who have either filled in when I'm gone or have helped me out when I'm doing this show solo. And so to those guests, it is great fun. And I'm going to give you a little preview as we look into the new year. We get the opportunity to visit with Keith Peltier from Proceed, Marlon Crump of Hankinson. He's a purebred longhorn producer. I'm going to visit with a gentleman from the Mid-America Windmill Museum. We have Craig LaPlante joining us from the Minnesota Soil Health Coalition. I have some folks from NDSU. NDSU and University of Minnesota are really rock stars for me, not only as experts, but as guests, folks like Don Kinsler and so many more. I have a couple of folks joining me from South Dakota one day. We're going to talk about the importance of rural ag leadership in small communities. I have the executive director of the National Dairy Shrine. I didn't know there was a dairy shrine until I found this guy, but there's a National Dairy Shrine and we're going to find out why. We will also talk about the All-American Beef Battalion, as well as local authors and historians who talk specifically about ag and the entrepreneurs of agriculture from the state of North Dakota, and also including Jeff Winton from Rural Minds. Jeff is a dairy farmer in New York State who began the organization Rural Minds after his nephew died by suicide. And Jeff didn't want to see other farm families go through that, nor anyone suffer from depression, anxiety, and more. And so Jeff started an organization to help others in those situations that are farmers. So again, thanks to all those people, but most importantly, thanks to all of you as our listeners for Weather and Ag in Focus. Probably don't say that enough, but we are grateful every day when you call, you send great ideas and suggestions, and when folks like Trucker Al bring me gifts from out on the road that you find that you know are going to be useful to this show. Thanks for that. Happy New Year, everyone. Enjoy the Jay Thomas Show being guest hosted today by Tim Flackel. And I will see you all later this week.